And when he had seated his disciples, and when he was seated, his disciples came to him. Then he opened his mouth and he taught them. Could have been a day much like any day, except the greatest preacher who ever lived. When you ask somebody something like, "How you doing?" and they give us any answer besides "fine," the only one we're programmed to hear, we usually miss it altogether, right? Am I right? Say, "How you doing?" "Fine." But we're not programmed to hear, "My life's falling apart. I'm glad to hear it broke. God bless you. Me too." You know, because we're programmed, we're not hearing what's being said, man. We are not programmed to hear those kinds of answers, something that's different. We are not quick to hear when it comes to receiving what others are trying to tell us. And a lot of times we have communication and problems in talking to one another because we try to express how we feel or what's going on, and we as the hearers are programmed to, we're hearing through filters or we're hearing through our own perspective, and we're really not listening. We're not quick to hear or swift to hear. We're not listening to what is really being said. And this is often true when it comes to what God is trying to communicate to us. You can hear his word but not really hear it. That's why Jesus was always talking about, you see this phrase a lot, having ears to hear. In one gospel it says, take heed what you hear. In another gospel it says, take heed how you hear. So we're not only we not only have to concentrate on the facts, we have to concentrate on the attitude of our heart in hearing the facts. Am I making sense to you? So we can hear the facts, but if the attitude of our heart is not in the right place, it's not receptive to hear what's being said, we're not going to hear it. So I was asking myself the question this week as I was thinking, I'm going to do this because I want us to be people who really hear when the word's taught. And not just say, "Oh yeah, that's an encouraging thing. Yeah, rah, rah, get blessed with that," or whatever. I want us to really hear with quick ears what God is saying to us. So we can adjust our lives or direct our lives according to what he would be saying to us individually and corporately. One of the things that keeps us from hearing is that is that we need to be, but are not. Do you notice the next phrase in that verse? Slow to speak. See, one of the reasons you don't listen is because you're doing all the talking. God gave us two ears and one mouth. Now that ought to say something to us, shouldn't it? That we should be listening twice as much as we're talking, man. Many times we need to be quiet, let God speak to us. The story is told of a young man who came to the philosopher Socrates to be instructed in oratory. When the young man was introduced, he began to talk incessantly. This went on for some time. Finally, Socrates put his hand over his mouth and said, "Young man, I'll have to charge you a double fee." The young man asked, "Why?" Socrates replied, "Because I have to teach you two lessons. One, the silence of holding your tongue, and two, the science of using it correctly." Sometimes we just need to shut up if we're going to hear from God. You heard it here first, folks. Okay. We need to develop an attentive ear. I think sometimes even our prayers, man. I'm in prayer groups a lot, and I'm, you know, with staff and different people, and let's pray. And sometimes, you know, somebody will start praying. I just want to stop and stop them. And say, "Shh. Okay. Now we've heard everything you know. You've prayed for Aunt Lily and Uncle Fred and everybody you met in the last 4 months. That's cool. Let's give God an opportunity to be involved here." It's like many times we, you know, you ever get those phone calls where when you answer it and you recognize who it is, you know you're not saying another word? Do you have those people in your life? You just pick up and you go, hello. And they go, hello, it's, I know it's. And you know, you don't need to say another word for the next hour and a half, man. It's those people you just put the phone down. And every 15, 20 minutes you walk by and say, uh-huh. And that's it, man. They don't have any idea, man, that you're not even listening. Well, you know, sometimes I think that's how we are with God. Is it not? You know, we're just there. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, boom! Thank you. Bye. We're gone. And he's saying, but I want to talk to you. I want to answer those things. I want to communicate. Communication is two ways. I try to instruct people in our prayer groups all the time, and many don't listen, but I try over and over. It's okay to be quiet for a while. It's okay even in a prayer group to have a 3 or 4 or 5 minutes of silence. That's okay. But there are some people that, silence, we're not spiritual enough, so they're throwing into the prayer. Let's hear from God. God wants to speak. God wants to speak to our hearts. So sometimes we need to be slow to speak. The second thing we need to do is cultivate a calm spirit. The verse puts it this way. We need to be slow to anger or wrath. Did you know that being upset with what you hear can block all the capacity you possess to hear it? Did you hear what I just said? If you're upset with what you hear, that can block all the capacity you possess to hear it, especially when it comes to a relevant now word from God. And if you don't calm your spirit down and let God speak a word to you, even when that word is uncomfortable, you will never hear. So we need to cultivate a calm spirit. Maybe I'm the only one. Do you ever get quick to anger? Even when God's telling you something? And obviously God is saying, this is the direction I want you to go. And you go, no! I don't want to go that direction. I was listening to somebody on the radio today. I think it was Ken Ortiz. And he said, most of us, this is our philosophy. You know, that we give our lives to Jesus Christ and then we have a wonderful plan for our lives. Okay? Instead of him having a wonderful plan, we have a wonderful plan and we just ask God to bless it. And so much of the time, God just says, I don't want to do that because your plan is not relevant to my kingdom. Your plan is not consistent with my purpose for your existence. Your existence is not to fulfill this desire in your life. Your purpose, I planted you here for a purpose, and you need to understand what that purpose is, and that's to fulfill my will, not yours. And then when we hear that kind of stuff, we get it. He doesn't say it that just that way, but that's what's happening, because all of a sudden the doors are opening, and I don't want to go through that door. I want to go through that door. Well, that's been nailed shut. Well, give me the hammer. No, you're not gonna. You don't do that. You go through the other door. But we get angry with God because of what he said. And so we can't hear what he's saying. We need to calm our spirits down and let God speak the word to us. So we need to cultivate a calm spirit. Then we need to cultivate a clean heart. James exhorts us to continue putting aside, continue on in the verse there, putting aside all filthiness. Now, this word filthiness comes from a root word. I guess I didn't get them up there, so as I'm giving them to you, you'll have to write them down, okay? This word filthiness comes from a root in Greek that has to do with earwax. But it refers to sin. In other words, sin in your life is like earwax. It will prevent you from hearing God. Sin stops up the capacity to hear. The Bible teaches that sin separates our hearts from God's. Isaiah said, and I love this, "The Lord God has opened my ear." Isaiah 50, verse 5. Isn't that great? Would you want to be able to say that? The Lord has opened my ear. Sometimes God has to dig our ears out so that we can hear what he has to say. If you listen for God to speak, you'll hear his voice. Okay. But we need to put aside all filthiness. All filthiness. Some of us don't even know how to define filthiness anymore because we have allowed so much in our lives through that thing in our family rooms or our bedrooms or wherever, and through the media and all the different things and what we've heard and what we see, and we go to the movie and all that kind of stuff, and well, that's not too dirty, that's not too filthy, you know. And it's only a single X rated, it's not a triple X, or, you know, whatever. And we kind of have that mentality, man. And so we think so filthiness and sin has become relevant in our society. It's not too bad. It's not too dirty. It's not too filthy. There's only two sexual scenes, so it's okay. Or there's only three words, and that's, or whatever. It says to put aside how much filthiness? All. If we're going to hear from God, I mean, now we can bring that stuff into our lives and still be believers, but we're not going to hear from God. I don't know about you, but I want to hear from God. I want to hear what God is saying through his word to me specifically in my life for this moment. I want to know what God is saying. Next, we need a teachable spirit. James, look at verse 21 there, last part of it. "And receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls." So how do we receive the word? There are several keys here. One is that we receive it in humility or meekness. All right, let's deal with this. Now, anger speaks of arrogance. We don't want to hear what God has to say because we don't like it. Now, we need to develop a teachable spirit if we are going to hear what God has to say. And we do that by humility. Now, humility is talked about in Galatians chapter 5 in terms of the fruit of the Spirit. Humility is talked about in the Beatitudes. One of the eight characteristics which characterize a Christian's walk in life. We'll deal with that, okay? Humility is essential to hearing the word and receiving it. It's not just enough to hear the word. Do you understand that, guys? It's not just enough to hear the word. We have to welcome the word. I like that concept. It's not just a matter of hearing it and doing it, but it's a matter of welcoming the word. I want the word of God in my life, and I want to welcome that word. Whatever that reveals in my life, whatever that shows me, whatever that means, I want to welcome the word into my life. And the welcoming of the word takes place when we are humble enough and teachable enough for God to speak to us. Okay? To be humble enough and teachable enough for God to speak to us. Some people think they know everything. Okay? Have anybody like that in your life? I don't. We want to go there. Okay? And that's pretty rampant in some church situations. I don't know what there is about coming to know Jesus Christ that does this to people, but it's incredible. Some Christians are saved for only a matter of days, and they've already arrived. They already have all the answers. Anybody? Yeah. Okay. They have all the answers. They're waving their Bible to everybody. They're beating them up with everything that they know. And they've known Jesus now for 72 hours. Okay. All right. Now, I have followed the Lord for over 40 years. I got saved when I was 4. And I find the more that I know about Jesus, the more there is to know. And I realize that in my life, I have only scratched the surface in my understanding about the things of God. And if I am to press on and understand the things of God better, I must maintain a teachable spirit, or I will stay stuck in the mud in my spiritual walk. Listen, saints, none of us have arrived. Paul said he hadn't arrived, and if he hadn't, I can't think of anyone else who has. Paul says it this way. He says, I have not attained, I press on. See, we need to develop a spiritual, we're a teachable heart, and an open and a receptive spirit. I think the saints of God sometimes need to throw off all that they think they know. Oftentimes, man, we have to unlearn some things to be taught again. The idea of receiving the word has a connotation in the original language, and I just found this out and I love this, in the original language of showing hospitality. This word is used for how we receive others into our homes. Here it is used for how we receive the word. In other words, we are to give the word a warm welcome into our hearts. Isn't that wonderful? Just like you, if you would come over to my house, I would say, come on in, sit down, and you know, enjoy. Warm welcome into my house. I'm not going to stand and you knock at the door and you, Pastor Chuck, I need to talk to you. All right, what do you want? I'm not going to stand there blocking the door. You know, well, let's talk. Huh? Got a problem, do you? Well, I'll be at work tomorrow. No, it's not going to happen. Okay. It's warm hospitality. You know, welcome, come on in. Well, that's the way we are to receive the word. Many of you did this tonight, but you know what we should do when we have Bible studies is we should be so anxious when we get to a Bible study. We should be so excited about showing up. We're going to hear from God. Come on in, man. Teach me. I want to hear what you have to say. This should be the most exciting time of our week. Why? Because we're hearing from God. This is God stuff here, folks. We're hearing from the God of the universe, the majestic of all beings, wants to talk to us, and we need to take, you know, that very seriously and welcome his words into our lives. We should be so excited. I don't care where you go to hear the word of God. God has something for you. Because it's the word of God that's powerful. It's not who's teaching it or how they're teaching it or what they're teaching. It's the word of God. Over the years, I can't tell you how many times I've heard people say, well, I'm just not getting fed, Pastor. Well, stop talking and shut up and start eating the word. You'll be fine. Yeah? Receive the word of God into your life and then allow it to do its work. Look at verse 22. There's an obedient walk. Verse 22. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Now, many, many, many Christians stop at merely hearing and receiving the word. They hear the word, they receive it, but don't take the initial step to do what the word commands. There's an interesting story that Chuck Swindoll writes about in his book, Improving Your Serve. I'm going to read it to you. Listen. And I quote, to make the value of obedience just as practical as possible, let's play, let's pretend. Let's pretend that you work for me. In fact, you are my executive assistant in a company that is growing rapidly. I'm the owner, and I'm interested in expanding overseas. To pull this off, I make plans to travel abroad and stay there until a new branch office gets established. I make all the arrangements to take my family, and I move to Europe for 6 to 8 months. And I leave you in charge of the busy stateside organization. I tell you that I will write to you regularly and give you directions and instructions. I leave, you stay. Months pass. A flow of letters are mailed from Europe and received by you at the national headquarters. And every letter, I'm spelling out all of my expectations. Finally, after months of being in Europe, I come home. And soon after my arrival, I drive down to the office, and I am absolutely stunned. Grass and weeds have grown up high. A few windows along the street are broken. I walk inside, and I walk to the receptionist's room. She's doing her nails, chewing gum, and listening to her favorite radio station. I look around and notice the wastebaskets are overflowing. The carpet hasn't been vacuumed for weeks, and nobody seems concerned that the owner has returned. I ask about your whereabouts, and someone in the crowded lounge area points down the hall and yells, "I think he's down there." Disturbed, I move in that direction and bump into you as you are finishing a chess game with our sales manager. I ask you to step into my office, which has been temporarily turned into a television room for watching afternoon soap operas. "What in the world's going on, man?" "What do you mean, Chuck?" "Well, look at this place. Didn't you get any of my letters?" "Letters? Oh, yeah, sure. I got every one of them. As a matter of fact, Chuck, we've had a letter study every Friday night since you left. We've even divided the personnel into small groups to discuss many of the things that you wrote. Some of the things were really interesting. You will be blessed to know that a few of us have actually committed to memory some of your sentences and paragraphs. And in fact, one or two memorized an entire letter or two." "Great stuff in those letters, boss." "Okay, you got my letters. You studied them, you meditated on them, you discussed them, and you even memorized them. But what did you do about them?" "Do? We didn't do anything about them." Now, when you think of the unhappy fact that this is where many of our churches and Christians are, okay? You see, God gives us His Word not to make us smart, but God gives us His Word so we will obey it. Do you understand that's why we have His Word? So we'll obey it. But a lot of us, we're studying and we're trying to gain this knowledge and we're memorizing and we're doing all this stuff, but we're not applying anything that we're taking in. And it must be applied. He says, prove yourselves doers of the Word and not merely hearers who delude themselves. See, sometimes we hear and receive the Word. We memorize and can tell people the facts and the truth of the Word of God, and yet we don't live that Word out. And if we are merely hearers, we are deceiving or deluding ourselves. Verse 23, "For if anyone is a hearer of the Word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was." Now, he's comparing the Word of God to a mirror. The mirror shows us what we really look like. When we look into the mirror, we do it for other reasons besides seeing ourselves most of the time. Sometimes we look in the mirror to shave or put on makeup. And many times, you can go through that routine without ever seeing what you look like. But if you do study that image, you will see an accurate reflection of who you are. And many of us don't want to do that. We glance up every once in a while, so we don't want to just get too familiar with that. That's not me. Okay. The Word of God is like that. When you look into the Word of God and you hear His truth, you see who you really are as you compare that to the Word. The Word of God, like a mirror, reveals to us who we really are. And if we just hear the Word, we are like somebody who glances in the mirror, shaves himself or powders her nose, and walks away and doesn't really remember what they look like. See, I don't know about you, but I have this idealized image of myself. I think I'm still the same looking guy I was 40 years ago. Okay? I just get up in the morning, just and then I look in the mirror and that pops my bubble. And I go, what happened, man? Who are you and what did you do with my body? You know? Okay, because that's not mine. Most of you, you know, technology changes so quickly, but all of us here remember when cassette recorders, were first introduced. Many of us here do. And when you first heard yourself on tape, remember what you said? I don't sound like that. I don't sound like that. Yes, you do. The tape is precisely how you sound. Somebody takes a video, you know, and you see the video at a wedding or something, and you go, I don't look like that. Uh-huh. Yes, you do. I'm sorry. But that's exactly how you look. We have an idea of what we really want to be and what we want to look like. Sometimes that's also true for our Christian lives. Sometimes we deceive ourselves into believing we are something we are not simply because we know the facts of the Word of God. Am I making sense to you? A.W. Tozer wrote this. There is an evil which, in its effect on the Christian religion, may be more destructive than communism, Romanism, and liberalism combined. It is the glaring disparity between theology and practice among professing Christians. He continues. Listen to this very carefully. So wide is the gulf between theory and practice in the church that an inquiring stranger who chances upon both would scarcely dream that there was any relation between the two of them. An intelligent observer of our human scene who heard the Sunday morning message and later watched the Sunday afternoon conduct of those who heard it would conclude they had been examining two distinct and contrary religions. And he goes on to say, it appears to me that too many Christians want to enjoy the thrill of feeling right but are not willing to endure the inconvenience of being right. And so the divorce between theory and practice becomes permanent, in fact. Truth sits forsaken and grieves till her professed followers come home for a brief visit. But she sees them depart again when the bills come due. That's a pretty heavy, heavy statement, man. Guys, because we fail to obey the Word, there is a disparity between what we profess and what we possess. What we say we believe and what we actually believe, what we say we are and what we really are. Jesus has called us to become people, not just to become people who know the Word. He has called us to be people who live the Word. He's called us to be people who obey the Word. How do you do that? How do you obey the Word? It is so simple. You want to know how? Do it. You want to write that down? How do you obey the Word? Do it. Simply do it. Obey it. Live it. That's it. That's how. How do I obey the word? I live it. I do it. Verse 25, but he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. All right, let's just kind of wrap it up and review it here. We're done. How do we receive the word? We need to develop an attentive heart to hear the word. Okay, number one. We need to develop a teachable spirit to receive the word of God. And finally, we need to develop an obedient walk to obey the word of God. And if you do that, you'll be blessed. Those are the 3 points. You want to write them down somewhere. You need to, if you didn't, circle them or whatever. Attentive heart, teachable spirit, obedient walk. That's what I've tried to share with you tonight, those three things. If we are going to be changed by the Sermon on the Mount, these qualities will need to be in us. Are they in you? Are those three qualities in you? Are you listening with spiritual ears to what God wants to tell you? Do you have a teachable spirit open to what God has to say? Or is your theology too closed and narrow to hear a fresh word from God? And finally, when God speaks, my friend, are you willing to do what he says? If you are willing to hear and obey, God will gladly tell you the next step to take. And then God will give us the grace to take it. Did you hear me? You really need to get that down. If you come to the place, even decide tonight, that you are willing to hear and obey, God will gladly direct your paths and tell you the next step to take. He doesn't want you in the dark. A lot of you are walking in the dark. You don't know what's going on. You know what to do. You're all confused. You're not willing to hear what God has to say. And you're not willing to be obedient when you hear him say it. And if you will do those two things, God will then gladly direct the next step. And then he will give you the grace. He will grace you. He will empower you. He will enable you to take that step. Because he now has one of his children who is willing to hear and obey. And that's all he's looking for. He's looking for children that will hear and obey. That's all he wants. He's not looking for talent. He's not looking for abilities. He's not looking for cuteness. He's not looking for, you know, well-dressed. He's not looking for any of that. He's looking for children that will simply be willing to hear and obey. And if we're willing to do that, he's going to direct our paths. And we can walk through life. At the end of every day, we can look back and say, Jesus, thanks. I want to sign your name. So if we're going to learn anything as we continue to go through the Word, as we continue to go through the Sermon on the Mount, as we go through the rest of the Bible, man, we must put James into practice in our lives. Let's stand. Jesus, Lord, we really want to be your folks hearing from you. And Lord, I'm assuming that there's a bunch of people here tonight because they want to hear your word and they want to obey your word, and that's why they're here. You've given us some insight tonight in this book of James. And what we need to do to be able to be those people that will hear and walk in obedience. If there's some stuff in our lives, Lord, that's hindered that, whether it's anger or sin, filthiness, experiences of the past, whatever it would be, Lord, we just want to lay all that stuff at your feet tonight. Be cleansed, washed in the water of your word. Bless you, sweet Jesus. You're an awesome God, and we love you. Thank you. Lord, we make ourselves available to you. We want to be your people. Hearing, welcoming your word into our lives. The warm welcome. Come on in. Settle in my life. Take up residence. Whether we like what we're hearing or not, we'll gladly receive your word and walk it out. Prepare our hearts over the next several studies as we hear this sermon, Jesus, that you preached to a group of folks that are not much different than this group, Lord. We want to hear with ears to hear. Prepare our hearts, Jesus. Thank you.